Sorry, I'm a little frantic.
I was playing my best NASCAR driver impression. it was a late one at work, so I was flying here. I'm going to get here.
Man.
Very brief greeting. I gotta go. Good to see everyone tonight. If you would, turn with me to page 377, last of the stand. This might be half piano, half acapella, so I'll just roll it up.
Father God, I ask also that you be with the message tonight. Pray, Lord God, that you'd hide pastor behind your sacred desert. Especially, Lord, I pray that you'd just use them in a tremendous way this evening. Father God, I pray that there'd be something in the message for each and every one of us here this evening, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to watch. And, Lord, and that I pray, Father God, that we there'd be no disruption. Pray, Father God, that it just would prevent any kind of activity that would interfere with the service tonight. So I pray, Lord, you just, again, would put your angels around our church. I pray you'd protect us. And, Lord, I just pray now for each and every one that couldn't be here tonight. I pray, Father God, whether it be for a spiritual reason or whether it be for sickness, Lord, I pray that you just would meet the needs there, Father God. Pray you'd fill them with your grace, Father. So, Lord, I just want to give you praise. I want to thank you for what you're going to do in here this evening. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, turn with me over to page 515, near the cross, page 515.
Good thing we're standing.
That's right. Amen.
Singing was a blessing. Glad everybody can make it tonight. So we're going to continue on here for a short little while this evening in 2 Peter chapter number 2. And it's kind of what we're looking at last tonight. Kind of, it's a sad state that we're in today. You know, with how things are going in the world and in the country, I was thinking about this today, that you would think that, well, I hope if it does get to a certain point that it does this, I hope it does, that it would push people, turn people back to the church, the true church. Seems like when things used to get bad in olden days, it would push people towards the church. But it seems like nowadays, if things get bad, they go towards the government. You know, you expect the government to take care of you rather than going to the church and the Lord Jesus Christ and getting help and trying to find God in the midst of hardships and trials. I hope it turns that way. I hope some individuals turn back to the Lord or to the church for answers or for help. But if you take your Bible, look at 2 Peter chapter number 2, and we'll pick up this evening in verse number 13. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 13. We looked at this last week. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 13, "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Lord, I pray just lead, God, and direct now, dear God. Give us what we need, Lord. Just give me the words to speak, Lord, I pray. God, help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord. And God, just help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And we'll just give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says here, referring back to the very first part of this chapter, chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And what they'll do is, we've already looked at this before, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now, we looked at the latter part of this verse, these verses that I read this evening in verse 13, and it goes in talking about Balaam, okay? And we're, if we get to it tonight, we're going to look at what Balaam did. Now, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but Balaam basically got in the back door, so to speak, and got God to judge his people and deal with his people in a judgment type of a way, rather than them being cursed. Okay, so we're looking at false teachers, and it says here that they'll be spots, they are blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. And it says, having eyes full of adultery. I guess this even starting out is we got to realize that the further we go on in this thing, in society and in this world, the more there's going to be things that are going to happen that are going to try to draw away the true believers by deception. By deception. Okay? I'm not basing anything that I believe today off of what I see or off of what I hear in this world. Okay? I'm basing everything that comes across my path or comes to me, I'm filtering it through the Word of God. So if it goes through that filter and falls to the other side, if it doesn't line up with this right here, I'm not following it. I'm not trusting it, and I'm not going that way because it's against Scripture. Okay, we base everything off of what does the Bible say? Okay, what does the Word of God say? Well, the Word of God's telling us here in 2 Peter that just as in the Old Testament there were false prophets, now in the New Testament there's going to be false teachers who are going to come in and try to deceive. And they're going to try to trick. But God always gives us red flags to warn us saying, okay, this is what you need to watch out for. And he's listed some things here. For what purpose, brethren? For a real quick review, look over to Colossians chapter 1. Now this is, once you're saved, now I believe this, you know, this, I'm not going to do a Bible study on it tonight. Once you're saved, we're secure in Jesus Christ, okay? Our spirit has been born again of God. You can't make your spirit unborn again of God. That's just not possible. You're born of the Spirit, you're born into the kingdom of God, you're now a child of God, and just as you cannot change who your parents are, you can never change who your dad and mom is. You'll always have a dad and mom, even if you didn't know who they were, you had a dad and mom, and nothing you can do can change that. Same thing when you're born into the family of Jesus Christ, you're a son of God, you can't change that. But look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22. In the body of the flesh, through death, look what he says in Colossians 1, verse 22. In the body of his flesh, through death, referring to Jesus, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Okay? Paul's giving a warning to the brethren here at Colossae, saying, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. I believe this, that the Lord has left you here in these bodies. Our bodies haven't been born again yet. Our flesh, we don't have new bodies yet. Our spirit's been born again of God. That we can go home under undesirable circumstances. Okay, we're ambassadors now. We're ambassadors. And Christ has left us here, the Lord has left us here to fight the good fight of faith for Him, that hopefully someday we go home, look, unreprovable. I don't want to get home to heaven someday, and I'm Christ and He's mine, but Him look at me and say, you know what, you didn't do everything I wanted you to do after you got saved. Some of the time, you did what you wanted to do, and you weren't in my will. Okay? I want to go home to heaven someday without spot, without wrinkle, without reproof from the Lord. I want to go home unblameable. Okay? Look what he says in verse 28. Colossians 1. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Jump down to chapter 2. Look at verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Look what he says. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, you're saved, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And look what he says in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You see, you can be spoiled. You can be saved and then be spoiled by men through philosophy and vain deceit. He's given warning. He says, look, at, he says, be rooted, be built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now go back to 2 Peter chapter 2 again. Look what it says in verse 14 about these false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. It says, having eyes full of adultery. All right? These false teachers, go back even to the false prophets, false teachers here, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, a red flag, having eyes full of adultery. Now, I didn't have time to do research on it, and I don't really know if I want to do research on it, but I just know through the years since I've been saved, how many, especially false teachers, preachers, especially televangelists, that have gotten caught up in adultery. Jim Baker's just one that I know of. What's the other one? Jimmy Swaggart, another one. You know, there's just two right off the top of my head. Now, I'm not saying all of them have, but they've gotten caught up in adultery, okay? Having eyes full, look, brethren, man cannot handle glory. And when you start becoming a preacher that's so big and so prolific and so lifted up, whether you choose to be or not, no man, and I will say this, no woman can handle all that glory being poured upon them. Look, I knew a preacher one time, and I was at a camp meeting one time, and it was like everybody, this man was the rage. And everybody's like, we can't wait till this man gets here. We can't wait till this man gets here. And you see right away that their focus is on this man rather than on God. That's pretty messed up. Waiting for this man to get here. And when he shows up in his car, he's got a fancy car. He comes out with his suit jacket and just a mess. But everybody's looking at this man instead of God. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Take your Bible, look over at Job chapter, Job chapter 31. Bible says in 2 Peter, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Look at Job chapter 31, verse 1. The book of Job, chapter 31, and verse number 1. Job 31, 1. Job 31, 1. Look what Job says here. Now remember what it said in 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 14, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, false teachers. Job 31:1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know my integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart walked after mine eyes, And if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, then let me sow and let another eat, let my offspring be rooted out. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I've laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime, yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by judges, for it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase. Job saying here, listen, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I then think upon a maid? And he goes on talking about his integrity before the Lord. And he says in verse 7, if my steps have turned out of the way and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot have cleaved to mine hands. Job is saying, listen, these, just like Peter talks about false teachers, it talks about having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Job is saying, for lack of better words tonight, as a saved individual, I need to be careful what comes in my eye gate and what comes in my ear gate. That I'm careful that it doesn't draw me away from the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's taught in his word, because our eyes and our ears affect us. What we see and what we hear affect us. And what we spend time with affects us. Even, brethren, I'll say this, and it's hard. This is very hard in the day and hour we're living in. We're in a society today that everything is about what you see and what you hear. It did not used to be this way even 20 years ago. Brethren, when I was growing up, and I'm not that old, we had rotary phones. Some of you can go back further than that and say, you know, what was you, brother, going to talk about the party line, calling up, right? I don't know what that was because that was before my time. But some of you nodding your head say, yeah, you know, look where we're at today to where you have everything in the palm of your hand. In an instant. I was amazed, and I'm sure you probably have noticed this before, but yesterday, I forget, I Googled something, looked something up, and it found like 17 million things in like 0.78 seconds. Not even 1 second. It found around 17 million things that went along with what I was looking up. Knowledge and the danger that is in your hand today, and you can take it anywhere. Okay? It's not what it used to be, and how quick things have changed. And Job in his day surely was not dealing with what we're dealing with in our day to day. What we have to be careful, what we spend time with. They says that they have eyes of adultery that cannot cease from sin. I wonder, I'm not going to look at the story, but I wonder if David read about what Job said here in chapter 31. Because if you read about Job 31, verses 1 through 12, basically he's talking about adultery. And David going up there on that rooftop when it was time for kings to go out to war, he stayed back at home, decided to rest. He sees Bathsheba, commits adultery with her, kills her husband, then the baby dies, just a mess. But I had wondered, as I was reading through this, I wonder if David ever read Job chapter 31. These things are serious today. And false teachers, false prophets, those that are coming in with false doctrines, one of the keys you know about them is if you examine and watch their lifestyle, you'll see what they place the emphasis on. Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. And then it says next, beguiling unstable souls. Okay? They beguile. These false teachers will beguile who? Unstable souls. One must acknowledge and recognize the working of false teachers and as to not fall into their tricks and trap. Take your Bible, look over at Colossians chapter 2 again. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 4. Falling into the traps. I read it. Well, I didn't read this part. But look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Colossians 2, 4. God, these false teachers, they try to beguile unstable souls. So before I read this, what does the word beguile mean? Basically, it means by deluding, misleading, or diverting. One way they beguile unstable souls is by diluting the Word of God. All your new Bible versions, delusions. Right? It's not the pure Word of God. There's something about a King James Bible. Now, you say, preacher, well, I have other Bibles in my house, but not to try to learn from them as far as spiritual things go. There is a diluting in new Bible versions, a watering down of what God's Word is to say. And tonight's not a night to go through those types of studies. But needless to say, the Word of God has been watered down. Misleading. False teachers misleading individuals because they don't know what's in their Bible. I said this Sunday night. I've had individuals come to me recently with questions about things, and when asked if they read their Bible, they say, no, not really, I don't read my Bible. Well, then no wonder, and I'm not being mean when I say this, no wonder you're having troubles and things bugging you out in your mind because you're not spending time in the Bible. If you don't ever get, God forbid something happens to me tonight and you don't ever see my face again, this one thing, this is the most important thing I could say as a preacher, as a pastor, as a brother in the Lord, stay in your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Continue to keep reading your Bible. To the day you take your last breath, if you're on a hospital bed and you can't read it, ask a nurse to get you a CD or a DVD or an MP3 or whatever and have it played, if you're able to do so. To the day that you have any cognitive ability in your mind, to the time where you can't think no more for yourself, read your Bible. That is the most important thing that I can give you. Stay in the Bible. The more you stay in your Bible, the less opportunity is for the devil to come in and beguile you, trick you, mislead you, divert you. Look, what is happening to Christians today? They're being diverted. There's too many Christians today, a good preacher that I love and know, down there in Florida, he says, and I just listened to him this week, he said, again, too many Christians are worried about the Antichrist than they are about Jesus Christ. I want to know who the Antichrist is. I want to know who the false prophet is. I want to know who the beast is. Do you think this is a 666? Do you think the barcode? They're too concerned about the tribulation and have paid no attention to Jesus Christ. Brethren, what does it matter, even if the Antichrist popped up there, right? What does it matter to us? We're still to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not change what our orders are. We're too concerned about what's going on. Look, brethren, it's bad. I know it's bad. But I got enough just in my daily life trying to walk with God to get me depressed and to flip on a TV and see everything that's going on to get me depressed even more. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is beguiling. It has the potential to beguile, to divert, to dilute, to misdirect unstable souls. If someone is not settled in the Word of God, you take a new believer. If they're not settled in the Word of God and they don't come to church, they don't read their Bibles, they don't pray, then they're going to start getting thoughts, like some of them, that they think that they're the Antichrist. Or they think that they're Judas. These are people who think that they're saved and they have all the right answers when it comes to salvation. Yet they have in their mind, why? Because they're not reading their Bibles, they're not in a good church, they're not around the brethren, and they get the devil knows this, and the devil will play on your thoughts and put things in there, beguiling unstable souls. Brethren, that's why we need to come together. I know we did church. I appreciate everybody come out tonight. It's a Thursday night. I know it's different. But if I had church on Friday, I'd want to be in church, not just because I'm the pastor. If the doors are open and the opportunity is to hear the Word of God being preached inside the church building, I believe as your pastor, and I believe this even before I was a pastor, you ought to be in church. Now, I'll say this now. I don't think you need to be involved in everything that the church is doing. That's impossible in some churches. You'll run yourself dry. There's some churches that got a lot of ministries outside. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about when the church is open and the preaching and teaching of God's Word is occurring in the church. During a church service, I believe you ought to be here as much as possible. Now, I know jobs. I used to have a job that prohibited me from coming to church. I understand that. I'm talking if you're able to. If you're able to make it. Now, if you're sick, stay home. I'm talking about if you're able to come to church, you ought to be in church. I'm not saying it for me. I'm saying it for you. For your benefit, not mine. For your benefit. Why? Brethren, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as you see the day approaching. I didn't quote that right. Look over at Hebrews real quick. Book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 25. Brethren, we need time together. We need time in the Word of God. Because it's only going to get worse. I don't think it's going to get better. But it doesn't mean that we have to be discouraged and despondent and beguiled by the tactics of the enemy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Tell me how many churches are open in a midweek service. Not Baptist, hardly any. Even many Baptist churches, they don't have a midweek service no more. How many churches stopped having a Sunday night service? Because people don't come to church. Look what the Bible. Look what it says. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. There's some out there, that's their manner. They're not gathering together no more, but exhorting one another. You know why you come to church? One of the reasons you come to church? You exhort one another. You're to build one another up. We need one another to build and exhort one another up. How many times, though, do we come to church, and I'll say this, it's so easy to tear people down. That's not scripture. There's no place you're going to find New Testament where the Lord says, when you gather together as believers, I want you to rip apart and devour one another and tear each other down. No, the Bible says to exhort one another. Why do we need exhortation? Because it is so depressing out there. There are so many bad things going on out there. When we come into church, it ought to be a time to where we exhort one another as we exhort the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Are we not closer to the Lord's return than 2,000 years ago when the book of Hebrews was written? And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I don't know how many Christians I've had over the last couple months say, Lord's return's got to be any moment now. Well, then shouldn't we be having church two times, three times a week? I'm not saying we're going to do that, but what I'm saying is, the Bible says so, as ye see the day approaching, exhorting one another, gathering together in one another, to keep one another together. Brethren, what do a bunch of buffalo do? I don't know if you've ever seen it, like a National Geographic thing on television or something, Discovery Channel, whatever channel it is. I don't know what it is now because I don't have it. But I've watched videos before and stuff on television that they do with a water buffalo and oxen and animals over there in Africa and out there in those desert areas. And when a lion comes up, if there's a bunch of them, what they'll do is some of them will gather around in a circle. They'll put all the young in the middle, and all the males usually will get out front, and they'll make a circle around for protection to where any lion or tiger can't. It's going to be hard for them to get in. It's going to be real difficult for them to get in. That's exactly what us Christians need to be doing today. We need to be forming a circle. We need to be gathering together, bringing in the young Christians in, setting a hedge around them, helping them to grow until they get strong enough to get on the front line, building one another, protecting one another from the devil, our adversary, walking about seeking whom we may devour. How many Christians have been burnt, have fallen out of the way because they've been out there just to dry? Now, there's only so much you can do as well. Look, as your preacher, I can only help you only so much as you help yourself. I can't look. I think some people think that if you just get somebody to preach you, that they'll be all right. No, it don't work that way. I can't be at your house at 5 or 6. Hey, you reading your Bible this morning? Hey, I'll sit down a cup of coffee. Did you pray this morning yet? Okay, I want you to make sure you read your Bible. Okay, I got to get over to the next house because I got to make sure they're reading their Bible too. I can't do that, brethren. That's impossible. I'll say this. If someone comes into this church and they're really seeking and they want help and they just, their life's a mess and they keep coming to church, I'm gonna go do as much as I possibly can feasibly to help that individual come along in the things of Christ. But if you tell me you need help and you come to church once every month and you're wanting me to be there to help you out, I can't help you. I can't. It's like almost like you want a magic pill from the preacher to say, well, this will fix everything. No, it won't. I don't have no magic pills in my bag back there. You take 3 a day and you'll be good to go. No, I don't have that. God expects us to do what we can do up to a point, and then we can't do no more, then he brings others in and ultimately himself to help us along. But it starts with you doing what you can do. And if I see somebody that's doing all that they can do and they still need help, I'll be right there with you. I'll be right there with you. But I see you're lazy and you're really showing me what you're putting the emphasis on, and then you're like, call me up, where are you at? Well, I've really seen what you put the emphasis on, and it's not the things of God, so don't expect me to really come in and help you out because you don't even want the help. Does it make sense? Beguiling unstable souls. Some people like to be beguiled. They like to be deceived because they choose to be deceived. Beguiling unstable souls. Look over at Romans chapter 16, verse 18. Romans 16, 18. Look what the Bible says here. Romans 16, 18. Romans chapter 16, 18. Romans chapter 16, verse 18. Well, I'm going to do it again, verse 17. Now I beseech you, Romans 16, 17. Look what Paul says at the very last part of this book. He says, now I beseech you, which means I'm pleading for you. This is really important what I'm trying to say next. Now I beseech you, brethren, look what he says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Be careful of individuals, I'll take it even a step further, be careful of individuals who desire just to cause division or offenses contrary to doctrine which you have learned, and look what, and avoid them, false teachers. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Do you see who they serve, these false teachers? They don't serve Jesus Christ, they serve their own belly. They're only, most preachers that are like that today, all they care about is what you're putting in that box back there. And usually it's not a box, it's an offering plate that they pass in front of you. Brethren, the only way sometimes I know what's in the bank account is if Brother Jim Bush tells me. I'm not here to be a pastor to make sure that, now I hope we have enough money to pay the bills, don't get me wrong. But I'm not here to make this a money profiting machine. It says, for they that serve, they serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by, look what it says next. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, beguiling unstable souls. If you give me $50 tonight, God's going to bless you, because that $50, each one of them is a seed that God will bless you. And the more seeds you plant in my offering box, the more God's going to bless you back with the money. You give $50, I'll tell you what, God will give you $500 back because you're trying to... I've heard preachers like that before. You give me money and God will bless you with even more. While I live in my $500,000 house with on 300 acres and... Brethren, the Bible gives you warning on these types of preachers. It says they don't love or serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They love and serve their own belly. And who do they trick? They trick those that with good words and fair speeches, they got the nice suit on, they're charismatic, they're good orators, they know how to speak, they know how to sway the people, they get the music playing the right way, they stir upon your heartstrings or play your heartstrings, and if you just give money, God will bless you. You know, you'd get healed if you just give $100 tonight. You know why people fall trapped to that? Because some of them are just as greedy as the preacher himself. But then some of them are innocent. They don't know no better. They're there in sincerity. They really want to know God, but they just fallen into this trap and they don't know no better. And I know individuals like that. That's just the way they've been raised. Their parents were that way. This is the only church they've ever been in. But that's all they've known. You say, preacher, how is there help then? Get in your Bible and read your Bible. Base everything spiritual off of what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Because there's going to be some that are going to try to come in and beguile unstable souls. With good words and fair speeches, they'll deceive the hearts of the simple. What are we to be simple towards? That which is evil. The Bible says to be simple towards that which is evil. God wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Beguiling unstable souls. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, which means the trickery, you know, the sleight of hand with like magicians and people that do card tricks. It's all by the sleight of hand. Well, the sleight of men and a cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to do what? To deceive. But whereto speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Be careful of those that are going to try to trick you by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We'll close up this evening here over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Beguiling unstable souls, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sins, beguiling unstable souls. Look at James chapter 1, verse number 1. James 1, 1. James 1, 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Why? That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting, basically meaning lacking nothing. That's what the word wanting there means. Lacking nothing, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you desire wisdom tonight, I believe this as a saved individual, if you cry out to God tonight in prayer and say, Lord, give me wisdom. God, help me to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of you. The Bible says that God will give it to you liberally. He will give it to you liberally. But look at verse 6 though. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Okay? What says next? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay? So you need to ask in faith. What I mean by you need to ask in faith, you need to trust the Lord that God will give you that wisdom. You know, one of the ways that God will give you that wisdom, it's not going to be some audible voice or Jesus appearing to you, helping you to grow in him by a physical manifestation of him. It's not gold dust falling from the ceiling. It's not crazy things happening in the services. You get wisdom by spending time in God's word. And the Holy Spirit, as you spend time in the Word, the Holy Spirit bearing witness to this Word and teaching you and growing you. Okay? First thing is you got to be saved. Second thing is, if you lack wisdom, ask God and He'll give you direction. He'll give you guidance and He'll give you help. And He'll often, for the most part, give you the answer right out of the Scriptures. Okay? But you got to ask in faith, and you can't be wavering to and fro. You've got to trust God. Now, what anchors us down? Jesus Christ. We have an anchor of the soul. We have an anchor that's entered into that veil there. We have an anchor, and that anchor is Jesus Christ. So when things start to get tossy and turvy, for lack of better words, we're getting tossed around a little bit, how do you settle that ship to the best of your ability when it is getting tossed around a bit? You anchor yourself to the anchor who is Jesus Christ. You stand upon that rock. You stand upon His word. And though you feel like you're being tossed to and fro, you hold on to and you say, but I know what the Bible says. I know what I'm feeling right now, but I know what the Bible says. I can't go off my feelings. You can't go off your feelings. That's a hard one to learn. That's a very hard one to learn. You can't go off your feelings. You go off of what does the Bible say. Because your feelings sometimes will be up and down. A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Stay grounded. Stay fixed upon the Word of God. There's false teachers out there having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. On heart, at heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. I didn't get into it tonight, but this stuff affects a generation, and I think it's affected a generation today of children. And we'll get into that next week, Lord willing. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, just your love towards us. And Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Just I pray, dear God, you'd help us with these things, Lord, to stay anchored to the Scriptures, to stay anchored to what the Bible says, Lord. This is all we got, Lord, here that we can put our hands on. Lord, I know we have the Holy Spirit, and we're saved, and we're born again of God. But Lord, I'm also thankful, dear God, that I have your word, that I can open it up, that I can read it, and I can trust it, and I can lean upon it, and I can stand upon it, dear God. Lord, help me to spend more time in it, Lord. Help me to meditate upon it. Help me to memorize the Scriptures, Lord. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to not be unstable. Lord, help us for the times that it feels like we're being tossed to and fro. Lord, help us to get closer during those times, closer to you and closer to your word. Lord, help these precious brethren tonight, Lord. I thank you for them coming out. And Lord, I pray you just be with us now this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody